Tonight's shiur is on Parshas Behar / Bechukosai, and the title of the shiur is Breaking the Curse, which I left as an ambiguous title, but you'll soon see why the title is Breaking the Curse. Before we get into the sources, the impetus or the motivation for the shiur is that I happen to be laning the Shabbos, and there's a common minhag that you lane the klalos, a certain section of Bechukosai, in a lower voice. And it always dumbfounded me, or it was always interesting why that is so. And as I was researching the area, I happened upon this Gemara, which doesn't really mention openly the concept of laning the klalos in a lower voice, but it takes up an interesting area in terms of laning Kriyas HaTorah and the klalos, and the curses of Bechukosai. And in doing so, maybe we could derive an idea about whether it's appropriate to lane the klalos of Bechukosai, the curses of Bechukosai, in a lower voice or not. So before we actually do the Gemara, and the Gemara is a little bit on the difficult side, I would say, tonight, so prepare yourselves. Before we do the Gemara, just the facts. What am I referring to? There are two sections in Parshas Bechukosai. One section is called by the Gemara Brachos, and the other section is called Klalos. And I gave you, in source number 1 and 2, just a little taste of what it's referring to. If you look at source number 1, which is Vayikra Perek Chaf Vav Pasuk Gimel, it's the beginning of the Parsha. It says, Im b'chukosai teilechu, v'es mitzvosai tishmeru, v'asisem osam. If you walk in the path of the chukos, meaning you keep them, and you guard the mitzvos, and you do them, what happens? V'nasati gishmeichem be'itom, v'nasna areti lula, v'eitz hasadeh yitain peryo. The rain will occur in its proper time, and the land will give forth produce, and eitz hasadeh yitain peryo. Now the psukim, they keep going forward, and we have about 10 psukim of brachos. This section in Bechukosai is referred to in the Gemara as the brachos. Why is it referred to as the brachos? I think because it's telling you that if you keep the mitzvos, various things will happen, good things will happen. And the Torah goes into detail as to what those good things are, and I just gave you a little taste of what those good things are, that you'll have rain and you'll have produce, but the Torah goes into more detail in the next 10 psukim. So that section is referred to as the brachos section of the Parsha, Parshas Bechukosai. And then if you look at number two is the beginning of what we call the klalos section, the curses section of Parshas Bechukosai, and I'm going to ask Alana to read, if she doesn't mind. Okay, stop. So this is Pasuk Yudalit in the same parak. And it says, if you don't listen to me, and you don't keep the mitzvos, if you despise the chukos, and you reject the mishpatim, and you don't do the mitzvos, and you break the bris, you break the covenant. Go on.
Yeah.
Hashem, as a result, will end up bestowing upon you various diseases, which will cause you a certain hopelessness and weariness, and you'll end up sowing seeds, and your enemies will eat them. Okay, this is the beginning of the section of Klalos, and the Torah gets way more graphic, and it goes through all the details of how Klal Yisrael will be punished if they don't keep the mitzvos, and they don't follow in the path of the mitzvos. And so we have these two sections in Bechukosai. We have the brachos section, the good section, where we get to see what we get if we follow the mitzvos, and we have the curse section, where we get to see what we get if we don't follow the mitzvos. Very bad stuff. Okay? The idea of the shir is going to start, or the concept of the shir really begins in the Mishnah in Maseches Megillah, Daf Lamed Amud Beis. And I'm going to read the source. It's source number 3. Betanios, so on Tanios, on fast days, and just background, there were fast days that were set up, that were decreed in situations where Klal Yisrael were in Sara. For example, like Purim was a good Tanis Esther. But now Tanis Esther has become a Tanis Tibor. But when Klal Yisrael is in Sara, in general, they have a right to declare a fast day, which we do sometimes even nowadays. And it says, on those days, brachos uklalos. We would read the brachos and the klalos. Now, what does that mean? So let's look at number four. What does it mean, brachos and klalos? Ilana is going to read the first Rashi, number four, on the Mishnah.
Brachot v'kolot de'im v'chukotai le'udia sh'al oskei hachit ba'a por anut le'olam v'yachzeru b'tshuba v'inatzlu mitzara shehin mit'anin aleha.
Okay, so on the Tainios, we would read the brachos and klalos from the im b'chukotai, which is our parsha. Why would they read the klalos and the brachos? So the Rashi is explaining that it's in order to motivate the people to do tshuva. They should see that if they don't keep the mitzvos, bad things happen, and therefore that should motivate them to do tshuva because they'll recognize that bad things only happen because of chet. So the purpose of the Kriyas HaTorah of the brachos and the klalos, mainly he's focusing on the klalos, is really to motivate the people on these tainios to do tshuva and hopefully be saved from the tzara that they're enduring. Okay, now that we have that information, the next part of the Mishnah says an interesting idea in laning. It says, "Ein mafsikin beklalos." You're not allowed to break up the klalos. Ela echad kore es kulon. One person reads everything. Now, what exactly does that mean? Let's look at number four in Rashi, the second Rashi. Ein mafsikin beklalos. Go on, Ilana.
Kedem forash milta she'ein.
Okay. What is he saying? Normally, how many olim do we have on a weekday?
Three.
We have three olim. So if you're going to read the brachos and the klalos from B'chukosai, you have the first two olim, the first two people who are called up to the Torah. And back in the Zman of the Gemara, the people who were called up to the Torah actually read the Torah. The Zman is that we don't do it because we don't want to embarrass people. But the first two olim, they read the brachos, and then one person has to read all the klalos. So the chiddush of the Mishnah, the idea of the Mishnah is in laning, when you're laning the klalos, the curses, and all the bad things that are bestowed upon Klal Yisrael, you're not allowed to split it up. You can't stop the aliyah where you want to and stop it in the middle of klalos. Whereas in general, you're allowed to, there are rules as to where you can stop an aliyah and where you can break it up. But in this situation, the Mishnah is saying openly that when you read the klalos, you're not allowed to break up the klalos. So you can't read those three psukim, for example, that we read in number two, and then stop and then call up another aliyah. So the question, obviously, what's the question that emerges naturally from this Mishnah? Why, right? So Alana's question is, why not? Why is it that, for some reason, by the klalos, by the curses, we're not allowed to break it up, and we're not allowed to make it that there are two different aliyahs in the klalos? And actually, this is true, like halacha, in this week's parsha, if you go to shul and you hear the laning, we don't break up the klalos, rather we start the aliyah before the klalos and we end the aliyah after the klalos. But the main purpose of the shir is going to be to understand why. Why is it that the laning of the klalos demands one person reading the whole thing and it can't be split up into two separate portions? Okay? Anybody have any other questions at this point? Are the facts clear, hopefully, to everybody? Okay, so we're going to go on in the Gemara. The Gemara asks the very question that we're perplexed by. If we look at number five, the Gemara is Megillah, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, and the Mishnah was Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph before. The Gemara asks, if you read along, it quotes the Mishnah first. Betainios brachos uklalos ve'in mafsikim b'klalos. It's just quoting the Mishnah. Menohani mili. So where do we know this from? And if we look at Rashi number 6, the first Rashi, Menani Mili. Alana, can you read Menani Mili? How do we know that you're not supposed to split up the curses? What is the idea? Where do we know this from? That's the question. So Amar Rav Chiya Bar Gamda, Amar Rabbi Asi. So Rav Chiya Bar Gamda said in the name of Rabbi Asi, De Amar Kura, it says in a pasuk in Mishlei, Musar Hashem Bini Al Timos. The Musar, meaning the Musar, or the chastisement of Hashem, Bini, my son, do not despise, Altimos, do not despise it. So how does that explain it? It's not clear from the Gemara itself. So of course, we're going to go to Rashi to try to help us understand how this pasuk relates to splitting up the klalos. So let's look at Rashi.
Altimos, v'hamafsik bahen mar'eh atzmo shekasha lo likrot, v'mesachat sofrim yalif la
Okay, So there's a machlokes as to where we learn it out from this pasuk. Do we learn it out from the beginning of the pasuk, Musar Hashem b'ni al timas, that you shouldn't despise the Musar of Hashem? And if a person splits up, the first idea in Rashi is that if a person splits it up, so it looks like he's having a hard time getting through it. A person who's splitting up something that they're reading, it looks like it's too harsh, and he's having a difficult time reading through the Kriya, the Klalos. And apparently that's a contradiction to the Pasuk of Musar Hashem B'ni al Timos. And the other side, the end of the Pasuk, we're going to actually see it inside. The Pasukim says, you learn it from the end of the Pasuk. It says, V'al Tokotz B'Tochachto. You shouldn't despise or abhor Tochachto. What's Tochacha? When Hashem rebukes you. So you shouldn't despise it or abhor it. And another way of reading it is, Al Tasu Kotzin Kotzin. The word takutz can also mean like short, abrupt points, and it's sukkim sukkim, lashon katsitsa. So you shouldn't break up the reading, it shouldn't be cut up. So there's a difference within Rashi as to where we learn out that you can't split up the klalos. One, the first idea is saying that we can't split it up from the beginning of the pasuk. Why? Because if a person splits it up, it looks like it's hard for him to get through it. And the other side, the end of the pasuk, is al takutz betochachto. Do not abhor it, and takutz, the lashon of takutz, is also katsitsa, which means a short, abrupt reading. So you shouldn't break up the reading into short, abrupt readings. And what exactly is this idea? We have to understand this idea. So if we look at, let's look at the pasuk itself, because Rashi and the Gemara, they tell you the source, so it's important always to look at the source. If we look at number 7, Mishlei, it's Mishlei Parak Gimel, pasuk Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. The pasuk says, Musar Hashem b'ni al timos. The Musar, the chastisement of Hashem, my son, do not despise, do not be disgusted by, v'al takotz b'tochachto, and do not abhor the tochacha, the rebuke. Now let's look at Rashi. What's the explanation of this pasuk? Look at number 8. Ilana's going to read number 8, pasuk Yud Aleph.
Musar Hashem b'ni al timos, im yavo'u alecha yisurin, yu chavivin alecha.
What does that mean? You want to translate?
Like tragedies or bad things before you, that you should like take it well. Yeah.
Okay, good. Good. Yeah, okay. So he's saying, Rashi, for the people on the phone, he's saying that if bad things happen to you, Musar is also another word for Yisurin, if bad things happen to you, so you should love them. You should love the bad things. Meaning, if let's say you get into a car crash, or let's say your house gets destroyed, they should be Chaviv Alecha. You should have some type of enjoy, or pleasure, I guess, or it should be valuable to you. You should love it. Chaviv Alecha. What exactly is that concept? Let's just read the next pasuk, because I think it explains it. The next pasuk says, Ki es asher yehav Hashem yochiach ucha'av es ben yiratza. So Hashem, basically, he only rebukes that who he loves, like a son, you know, who loves a father who loves a son and wants his son to do well. And if we look at the pasuk, the next pasuk, it says, that's the next Rashi. If we look at Rashi number 8, lotakutz means milashon katzdi b'chayai. My life has been shortened and it's abhorrent. Uch'aves ben yiratzeh, shirotzeh bivno lahativ lo. So really Hashem, he really wants the good for his child, like a father wants the good for his child. V'yifayseu l'achar shemakeyu. After he punishes the son with a stick, b'shevet, Kenya Arav Lecha Tova Achar Amakeh. Then you recognize the good after you get hit by the stick. Okay, so let's just define this pasuk alone. What exactly is the idea of this pasuk? What's it telling you? What's the concept? That you should love the Yisura and the bad things, according to Rashi, the bad things that happen to you. Why should you love the bad things that happen to you? What's the reason?
Because it's for your own good.
It's for your good. Okay, good. So Alan is saying that the bad things that happen to you, which come about through God, there has to be a recognition that it's for your good. It's for your own good. So it doesn't mean, I don't think it means when Rashi says as you chaviven alecha, that a person should say that if somebody dies or if their house is destroyed, it doesn't mean that you should say that, oh, this is great, you know, I'm so happy that this happened. That's ridiculous, you know, that's insane. But rather, I think what Rashi's pointing out, at least, is that you should at least appreciate the good that could come about through bad things happening to you. So you could recognize that when bad things happen to you, it gives you some type of motivation to do tshuva, or it should lead you to insight into your own life or how you think about things. So the idea of yu chavivin alecha is not that a person should just ignore how they feel and just say, oh, you know, this is great, but rather they should recognize, even in the harshness of bad things, there should be a recognition of the good, of the good behind it, that it's really for man's benefit, as Alana was pointing out. All right? So now let's go back to Rashi. How does this explain why we can't cut up the kalos or break it up? So if we look at Rashi in number six, Altimoyas. Tamar, can you read this again? Since you're on, do you have the sheet in front of you?
Which one do you want me to read?
Number six, Rashi, the second part, the second line, Altimos. Okay, so if a person splits up the kriya, it looks like it's hard for him to get through the kriya. So what's the problem with that? Why is that a problem of Musar Hashem B'ni Altimos? What's the problem with that?
That it shouldn't be hard for him to get through because he should take it.
Right. So
see the good of it.
Right. So he's making it look like there's no good in the Yisurin, right? If a person cuts up the klalos and he breaks it up, as Rashi says, it looks like it's too hard for him to get through. I just can't read this paragraph anymore. It's just too hard. But then it's a denial of the good in the Yisurin. Meaning if there's a recognition that there's good in the Yisurin, that there's some type of benefit for man, then a person should just read it straight out. But if it looks like it's too hard to read through because of the harshness of the Yisurin, it makes it seem like there's no good involved. So it's really a violation of the pasuk, or it really goes against the idea of Musar Hashem B'ni Altimos, that a person shouldn't deny, there shouldn't be a denial of the good in the Yisurin, in the bad things that happen to Klal Yisrael. There has to be a recognition in reading the Klalos that there is a good here. And by a person, by the individual breaking it up and reading it in two aliyahs, for example, so what happens? It looks like it's too harsh. And once it looks like it's too harsh, then you're already violating this pasuk, the idea of this pasuk. Okay? What about the next part? Now, do you guys accept that, or do you have any questions on that? Okay. Makes sense?
Yeah, my first thought was the opposite. I would have thought that by breaking it up, you're like spending kind of more time on it. Like I thought that maybe you want to just like get through it and finish it because it's klalot.
Right, right, okay.
No, but I hear
right,
it. Right. But the reason the makes sense.
Right, right, okay. Actually, I think you're like the Rambam a little bit. We'll see. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's a good point. Now, Tamar, can you read the next part?
Okay.
What? She said she would have thought it was the opposite. That if you're reading it at once, then it would mean that it would appear like you just want to get through it. Whereas if a person cuts it up and breaks it up, it's like you're spending more time on it. But Rashi's clearly, I mean, you have to work with what the Gemara is saying, and Rashi's explaining what the Gemara is saying, saying that a person has to demonstrate in reading the klalos, there has to be a demonstration. There can't be a denial of the good in the Yisurin. There has to be some, and by reading it in a way whereby it looks too harsh, and like a guy can't get through it because it's so harsh, it would be like, it looks like there's no benefit or there's no positive in the Yisurin. Whereas in the reality, there is a positive, and it is for a man's good. Okay? It would be equivalent to a person trying to read through, let's say, obviously we're more familiar with like Holocaust stories. So if a person were reading through a Holocaust story, it would be hard or difficult to read through it. So naturally you would make breaks in the story. So too by the klalos, if you actually read through the klalos, they're very harsh. And we went actually experienced a lot of the klalos. So it would make sense why emotionally it would be difficult to read through. But the problem is that in reading through it, it's mara atzmo, like it's too harsh. And then you lose out on the good or the benefit of the kalos. Okay, go on. Tamar, can you read the next part? Masecha Sofrim?
Yes. Masecha Sofrim. Yelis la misipiha.
Misefe dekra. Sefe. The end of the pasuk. Misefe dekra. You said siyafeya.
Misefe.
Yeah.
Dekra. Ve'alta kut v'solchakso. Alta sukotin kotin. Bakim bakim.
Okay, the other side, from Masechus Sofrim, they want to learn out that the limud is from the end of the pasuk. It says, al takotz v'tochachto, that you should not abhor the tochacha, the rebuke. But if you read, the word takotz is really like a word of kotzen kotzen, like short, abrupt, sakim sakim, short, abrupt readings. So it's Lashon Tzitza. So apparently, it's the same. It seems to be a similar idea as the first idea, right? That really, if a person, if it's read, it broken up, it's almost like a demonstration. It's like a lack of recognition of the good in the klalos or in the yisurin. So therefore, the end of the pasuk is saying that you can't read it like that. A short, abrupt reading lacks a certain recognition of the positive, of the good in the klalos. What's the difference between the first idea and the second idea in Rashi? Like categorically, how would you define it? Where is the misconception according to the who's creating or where is the what's creating the misconception in the first way of learning? What's responsible for it? The person, the individual, he himself. It says he's mara atmo ki ilukasha. So the individual, the way he's reading it is what's responsible for the misconception in the yisurin. Meaning a person would the way he's reading it makes it look like it's too harsh. What about the end, the second reasoning or the second part of the pasuk? What's the reason or where does the misconception lie in? In the actual kriya itself. Meaning in Rashi, he's splitting it up into two possible concepts. One is saying that the problem with breaking it up is a problem in the korei. The person who's reading it, he appears or he's making himself appear like it's too harsh, and thus the wrong idea is given out. Whereas the other side saying that the kriya itself, breaking up the kriya itself is a problem. That reading something in an abrupt, not from the reader's standpoint, not from the fact that the reader is showing that it's too harsh, but the actual kriya itself, the reading itself is broken up and split up, and that's where the problem lies. It lies in the kriya, not in the korei, not in the person who's reading it. Like you see that, for an example or a possible explanation is that whenever Musar is given, the person who's giving the Musar plays a critical role in how the Musar is given over. The person could be speaking with a loud booming voice, or they can be speaking with a guilt-trodden voice, like a softer voice. Or the person could have a beard or not a beard, or the person could be old or young. But the style, the person himself and his appearance and how he gives the Musar over is a very critical element in Musar, in Tochacha. So the first side saying, the first limit of Rashi saying that the ikar is the kore, that the person who's giving over or reading the klalos, he is responsible for the misconception. Whereas the second side saying it's the actual kriya itself, that reading a kriya in an abrupt way, the kriya itself doesn't convey the proper message. It's not conveying the message that there's really a good in the yisurin, in the klalos. So the machlokas in Rashi is a question of what is responsible for the problem, for the misconception. Is it the korei, the person who's reading, that he, or is it not the korei, but rather the kriya itself? All right, so we're going to move past this point. But the first shita in the Gemara is that the problem of splitting up the klalos is based on this pasuk of Musar Hashem B'ni Al Temos, and apparently the idea is that the good, the idea of the good behind the Yisurin has to be manifest in the Kriya. It can't be that it either appears to be too harsh, either from the Kori himself or the Kriya itself, but rather it has to be that in the Kriya of the Klalos, it has to be that it's not, there's no denial of the good. It can't be that it's like too harsh. Okay, that's one idea. So now the Gemara goes on, and we're going to go back to number 5, if you look in the source sheets. And there's another opinion. Reish Lakish Amar. Reish Lakish says, can everybody on the phone hear me okay? Because there's like crackling on this side. Somebody answer.
Yes.
Okay, good. And is everybody following what I'm saying? Hopefully.
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you, Mom. Reish Lakish Amar, Lefisha Ein Omrim Bracha Al HaPeronius. So he says there's another problem, another reason why you can't break up the kalos. What's that reason? You see, every time we split up an aliyah, there's a bracha, right? The Berachos HaTorah are said. So there's a rule being stated here by Reish Lakish. Apparently, the problem with splitting up the klalos is that a bracha will be stated on bad things, on peronios. So we don't want it that a bracha is stated on bad things, and as such, we don't break up the klalos. All right. So Reish Lakish's opinion is that the problem with breaking up the klalos is that you can't make a bracha on bad things that happen. We're back.
I'm feeling angry.
Okay. Reish Lakish. Okay, so let's explain Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is saying there's another problem with splitting up the klalos. What's the problem? You can't make a bracha and if you on peronios, on bad things. And if you split up the klalos, you'll end up having an aliyah in the middle of the klalos and the bracha will be going on the bad things, the harsh things in the klalos. The question is, obviously, why not? What's the problem with making a bracha on bad things? Right? So let's look at Tosfos. Tosfos actually gives the reason. This is also, I think, the reason in Masechet Sofrim. Look at number 9 in Tosfos. So Tosfos says, and I'm just going to skip to the Amar of Yeshua. So it's 2 lines into the Tosfos, number 9. He says, the Amar of Yeshua, desachanin ani. That Hashem, he's saying, I'm in despair. Amarti, I said, imo anochi bitzara. That Hashem is with, I am with them, or with him, bitzara, in their pain, or in their affliction. Vim kain, if that's the case, in din shivarchuni bini al hatzaro shalohem. It's inappropriate that my children should bless me on their tzaros. Ela yikra echad akol, one person should read the whole thing. V'yaschil b'davar acher, v'yasayim b'davar acher. So this is a separate point we're going to see in the Gemara, but as a result of this, you have to start the aliyah before the klalos and after the klalos as to not make a bracha on the klalos. V'oz yuchal levarech tchpila v'sof. And only then can you make the bracha in the beginning and the end. So what exactly is this idea? What is imo anochi b'tzara? What's the problem with making a bracha on peronios? Because what's the question on this? Hashem, he really isn't in pain, right? Because Hashem doesn't feel anything. He doesn't have emotions like men. So what does it mean, imo anochi b'tzara, and why exactly would you think that that should prevent you from making a bracha in a situation where Klal Yisrael's being afflicted? Now, what's the idea, what's the concept that Reish Lakish is saying? Somebody speak up right now. How about a possibility?
Hashem is saying to us, imo anochi
b'tzara. Yeah, in Tehillim it says, imo anochi b'tzara, that I am with them, with him, meaning my children or my son, b'tzara, in their affliction. Meaning, it's as if it's saying that Hashem, he's afflicted with us. He's with us in our pain. But what exactly does that idea mean? Because we know that God doesn't feel pain. So what does it mean that, and how does that translate into the problem of making a bracha in a situation where we're explaining the harsh punishments that Klal Yisrael are going to get? What exactly is the problem with that? Imo anochi b'tzara, what does that mean? How is God affected? God's not affected by tzaros, by our tzaros. So what exactly, how would we explain this idea, imo anochi b'tzara, and Tosfos, as we said, is using this to explain Reish Lakish's opinion. That you can't make a bracha on peronios as a result of this. So what exactly is the idea?
Maybe in case you would actually feel distant from Hashem by reading all these things, and just making a bracha would sort of be like in vain because you wouldn't really mean it.
But why wouldn't you mean it? Oh,
because
you mean,
feel
yeah.
Like distant, and you wouldn't feel like you want to praise Hashem or like...
Okay, good. I like that. Good approach. I like it. Good, thank you. All right, anybody else? She's saying that man is going to feel distant from God, so it's inappropriate to make a bracha in that situation, right? So that's the, I think what Emily is saying is a great point, and I was going to say a very similar thing. So, but I just want to elaborate on what Emily's saying. That I think the idea of imo anochi b'tzara doesn't mean that God is affected by our tzaros, because it can't be. God's not physical, he doesn't have emotions. We're all familiar with those concepts, hopefully. So the idea must be of imo anochi b'tzara that when Klal Yisrael is in Sarah, so Hashem, his perception, or the perception of him is affected. Like Emily said, like man feels more distant. They can't see bracha in God. You can't see God being the Mevarech, the provider of blessings, when Klal Yisrael is suffering. So the idea of Imo Anochi B'Tzara means that Hashem, not that he is affected, or the being or the existence of Hashem is affected, it's impossible. But his perception, the perception of him, is affected in Sarah, and when Klal Yisrael is in Sarah. Meaning, they can't be mevarechim in Sarah because they don't see the bracha. They can't perceive the bracha. The bracha is from God in that situation. So the image, the idea is that his perception, the perception of man of God, is affected when Klal Yisrael is in Sarah, and therefore that's manifest in not making a bracha when discussing these peronios. Okay? Is that clear, the idea? Everybody? Tamar, is that clear?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah?
You want to say it one more time?
Yeah, the idea of Imo Anochi Bitsara, thanks. The idea of Imo Anochi Bitsara is not the idea that God is affected, but rather when Klal Yisrael is in Sara, so their perception of him is affected. Meaning they don't view him, they can't view him in the same way. They can't see him as the Mevarech, the provider of blessings and brachos to the world when they're in a state of tsaros. So that's the idea. It doesn't mean that God himself is affected, but it means that the perception of him is affected when Klal Yisrael is in Sara. So that is manifest in the fact that no bracha should be made in Peronios. Meaning man doesn't see bracha when they're in Klal Yisrael, they don't see bracha, and other nations as well. They don't see the brachas. God is the provider of brachos in situations when Klal Yisrael are in pain or in suffering. So it's almost like, it's not that God himself is affected, but the perception of him is affected. He's also viewed, he's not the bracha, the aspect of bracha, and that God as a provider of blessings is not seen in the time period of tsaros. So therefore, it would be inappropriate. It doesn't make sense to be mevarech, God.
But wasn't the whole point of what we were saying before was that you're supposed to see God as the mevarech even if with bad things?
No, there's a difference between like God as a provider of brachos versus saying that there is a benefit to the tochachos. Meaning it's one thing to say this is too harsh and there's no bracha here, there's no benefit to man. But it's not the denial of the fact that like it affects how man perceives God and that there is a distance, as Emily was saying, there's a distance now between us and God and we don't perceive him in the same way as a result of the tzara. So he's affected by it. Imo anochi b'tzara. It's not like he's unaffected by it. But it doesn't mean him, obviously. It means the perception of him is affected by it. Okay? Tamar, does that clarify it or should I say it another time?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I like agree with Alana that my first like assumption would be the opposite. Like it would be that like I don't get still why you can't break.
Well, there's two opinions now. Like we said, the first opinion is saying that the problem with breaking is that it's a denial of the good in the Yisurin. Meaning there's a good, there's a benefit to man in being punished, and if you read it in a harsh manner, that idea won't get across, and that's a problem. Whereas the second idea, or the second sheet, is saying it's a separate problem, that you can't make a bracha on peronios, on bad things that happen to Klal Yisrael. And the idea we said there is because man is affected by being in Sarah, and the image or the perception of God is also affected. So it would be inappropriate, it's inconsistent, to make a bracha on peronios. Not that in reality God is less of a mevarech when man is in Sarah, but there's an idea that man perceives God. He doesn't perceive God as the Mevarech when in Sarah. So on the one hand, I would say that we can't deny the good of the Yisurin, but it doesn't mean that like Yisurin is brachos. It doesn't mean that we say, oh, yeah, it's great that my house was destroyed or somebody died in my family. We don't say that. It's not. It affects our perception of him. But it doesn't mean that we don't recognize the good in the Yisurin. There still is a good there. It promotes tshuva. If nothing bad ever happened in the world, nobody would ever have any motivation to perfect themselves or look into their own thoughts and feelings and try to analyze, you know, and analyze themselves. So I think there's a balance there. The balance is between recognizing the good in the Yisurin, but also recognizing that when man is suffering or when Klal Yisrael is suffering, they can't view God in the same manner. It's just natural not to view God in that manner. Okay? All right. All right, you don't seem satisfied, but everybody else does, so. At least, I don't know, because you're on the phone line, so nobody's saying anything. If anybody wants to defend Tamar, you know, please speak up now. All right, nobody's coming. Nope, sorry. Okay. You're all alone.
Sorry, Tamar.
All right. Amar Abaye, let's just go on in the Gemara. So we skip Elahechi Ovid. So how should you lane the Klalos? Tana, kishuhu maschil b'pasuk shlefneim, ukishuhu misayim b'pasuk shlacharein. So we said that, we mentioned that if you can't make a bracha on peronios, what are you supposed to do at the beginning of the kalos and the end of the kalos? So the Gemara, or the Tana, is explaining, and there's an explanation in the Brisa, that what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to start a pasuk before and a pasuk after. That way, when you start the klalos, you're not making the bracha on the klalos, but the pasuk before. And when you end it, you're not making it on the end of the klalos, but rather the pasuk after. And that's how we solve the problem. Okay? So hopefully everybody understands those two points. That is really the ikkar of the shir, the main part of the shir. But now the Gemara gets very fun and interesting, and you gotta stay with me on this, because this is it may seem simple, but it gets a little bit difficult. Okay, and I know I'm hyping it up, so hopefully it is as difficult as I'm saying. So Amar Abaye. Abaye says, Lo shanu ela b'klalo shebetoras kohanim. So this idea of not breaking up the klalos is only a din in Bechukosai. Toras Kohanim is a reference to Vayikra. Aval klalos shebe Mishnah Torah posik, but the klalos in Mishnah Torah, which is Devarim, you are posik, you are allowed to split. Okay, where are the klalos in?
That's
with the Kargrizu and Harivu. Yeah, no, it's Kisavo. It's in Kisavo. Okay. But in Kisavo, there's another Tochacha that's mentioned again. All the bad things, it's not Hargrizim, Har-Eval. It's in Kisavo, it's more graphic, and it goes into all the details as to what Klal Yisrael will endure if they don't keep the mitzvos. So the Gemara is making a distinction that when we lane the Klalos of the Chukosai, this week's Parsha, that's when you can't make a split, and you can't have two aliyahs. But when you lane Devarim, Kisavo, so you are allowed to split it up. So obviously the question is, what is the difference? Why is it that, because in both cases you have, the problem should be the same, that either way it should be the same. So what is the difference? My time, what's the reason? Halalu, b'lashon rabim amuros, umosham ipia gvura amran. Okay, so the ones in Bechukosai, they're written in a plural form. If you look at number two, let's say, for example, what does that mean? Look at number two, source number two, Pasuk Tes Zayin. It says, Af ani esezos lachem, for you. It doesn't say lecha in the singular, but it says lachem, for you, meaning Klal Yisrael as a whole, meaning a plural form. Umosha, and the second idea, let's go back to the Gemara. Umosha mipia gvura amran. And Moshe, he's saying it in God, in the framework of God. He's saying it as if he's writing this down as if he is God. Vivkadti alechem. Like if you look at Tes Zion, Vivkadti. That's not Moshe, but it's God. God will remember and he'll bring upon you these diseases. Whereas in Devarim, the halalu, the lashon yachid amuros. So the klalos there, it doesn't say lachem, but it says lecha. It doesn't say umoshe mipi atman amran. And also in the klalos there, it's not written in the framework of God, from the framework of God, but rather it's written from the framework of Moshe. Not that Moshe himself made it up, and all the Rishonim, and everybody explains that it was Ruach HaKodesh, but he's writing it from his standpoint, whereas in Vayikra, it's being written from God's standpoint. And if you look at Rashi, Rashi explains what that means. Number six, Rashi, he says, Moshe mipi agvuran amran, v'nase shaliach lomar, he's made into the shaliach, he is the person who's the messenger. Kach amar li HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem told me this. Shari amurin v'loshon v'nasati v'hivkati v'shilachti. Mi shayecholis b'yadol lasos. It's being written in the framework of God. And aval b'mishnah Torah, in Devarim, it says k'siv yakecho Hashem yad bek Hashem. It's talking about God, but in a more distant sense, that Hashem will affect you. Whereas in Bechukosai, it's saying, I will affect you, I will cause this to happen, and that's a reference to God. Whereas in Bechukosai, it's saying, Hashem will affect you. And the second part is, Moshe Amran Me'elov, Im Tavru Al Mitzvosov, Hu Yafkid Aleichem. He's writing it from his standpoint, meaning, if you are violating the mitzvos, then God will punish you. Whereas in Bechukosai, it's being written from, so you have two ideas. One is the plural versus the singular. And the other idea is that in Bechukosai, it's written in the framework of God, whereas in Devarim, it's written in the framework of Moshe. Okay? Does this help at all? Does anybody understand what this is talking about? Yeah, you do. Alana says, what's the difference? Why should there be a difference? Then?
Why is there a difference?
Yeah.
Oh, that I didn't get.
Okay, why should there be a difference? Anybody? Okay, fine. So this is we need the Rishonim for this, right? This is a hard piece. Let's just finish the Gemara, and then we'll try to explain the difficulty in this Gemara. So it says Levi Barbuti, this person named Levi Barbuti, Havakari become a gamgam. He was reading the psukim, the klalos, and he was stammering or mumbling. Kamei de Rav Huna, in front of Rav Huna, ba'aruri, when he was reading the kolos. Amar lo, so he said back to him, ach nafshecha, do as you please, do as your soul pleases. Lo shanu ala klalo shebetoras kohanim, aval shebemishna Torah posik. We only said that you can't break it up and you can't stop by b'chukosai, but in Devarim you are allowed to. Basically, the meaning of this Gemara is that Rav Huna is telling this guy, Levi Barbuti, that you can stop if you want to. Because he was reading Devarim, he wasn't reading b'chukosai, and he was apparently stammering and having a hard time mumbling, he was having a hard time getting through it. So he's telling him, if you want, you can stop. You're allowed to be posik. So the Gemara is poskening, based on this story, that in Devarim you are allowed to split it up, whereas in b'chukosai, you're not allowed to split it up. Okay? This Gemara seems kind of simple, but we have to go back to that point. The point is, what would be the difference? Why is the Gemara mentioning that because one is plural and the other one's singular, and because one is written in the text or in the context of God and the other one's in Moshe, why should that make a difference in terms of Devarim and B'chukosai, whether you could read it or you can split it up or not? Right? That's the question. Mm-hmm. Anybody have any possibilities before we do Rishonim?
Maybe since we were saying the whole point is that you need to take what the Yisurim and things from God and see it as that he's doing it for the best, for your own good. So when it's as if it's him speaking, as if it's God speaking, that's
okay.
It's
good.
More, it's like clearer that that's all right. Who all right. Is sending it.
See, you're already making an assumption, and this is what makes the Gemara so difficult. But I like the way you're thinking. Okay, because we're gonna see two ways of explaining the Gemara. Okay, the main question on how to learn this Gemara is this statement, Amar Abaye. Right? So this statement that there's a distinction or that there's no difference between, that there is a difference between B'chukosai and Devarim, who is that explaining? Is that explaining the first Shita or the second Shita or both Shitas? What is that going on? Did you get the question? Anybody? Okay. Abaye is saying that, Ilana says she doesn't understand. Abaye is saying that there's a difference between the klalos of Vayikra, B'chukosai, and the klalos of Devarim, right? So in B'chukosai, you can't split up because of what we said, but in Devarim, you can split it up, right? Now, who is Abaye explaining? Is he explaining the first according to the first explanation? Meaning the first explanation says it's because of Musar Hashem B'ni Al-Timas, and because of Musar Hashem B'ni Al-Timas, that would only apply in the situation of B'chukosai and not in Devarim? Or is it going according to the second Shita, Reish Lakish, of the idea or the problem is Ein Omer Bracha L'Peronios? And for some reason, this difference would explain why, for some reason, Devarim would be different in this matter. Let's go to the Rishonim. It's a hard question.
Explain the second one.
What? Okay, let's go to the Rishonim, okay? This is the difficulty in this Gemara, but it just shows you like the brilliance of how to learn this Gemara. It's just incredible. Okay, so look at the Ron in number 10. Okay, so the Ron, he says you have to look. I know it's very small, and I apologize, but if you go four lines up from the bottom in the Ron, okay, Halalu Moshe Mipi Atzmo Amran. You see it? Everybody see it on the phone line? They say yes, even if you don't see it. Okay, good. Hello. It's the two dots. It starts with the two dots. Four lines up from the bottom. Halalu Moshe MEP Atmo Amran. So these, meaning the ones in Devarim, Moshe says by himself, meaning it's more individual. The Afal Pi Shehiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even though Hashem agreed, she kasev b'Torah, that it should be written in the Torah, Lo Chashivi Poronios Kulei Hai. It's not considered as bad. V'ro'i Levarech Aleihem. And it's really ro'i to be mevarich on them. And then he says, Umemra da Abaye betaime de Reish Lakish Shaicha. So Abaye's statement that there's a difference between Vayikra and Devarim is explaining the Shita of Reish Lakish. Vitanya nami kavase dahi masnis in the maschle v'pasuk shlifneim kavase asya. Okay, so the Ron, he's learning the statement of Abaye is going on Reish Lakish. How is it explaining Reish Lakish? Reish Lakish is saying that you can't make a bracha on Peronios. But apparently the fact that in Devarim it's stated by Moshe and it's only in the singular, it's a demonstration that Peronios, the Peronios in Devarim, is not as bad as the Peronios of Vayikra. The Peronios of Vayikra is being stated or given over by Hashem himself. The being, the existence that has the capability of enacting and executing that the klalos, and not only that, it's also plural. So it's much harsher. It's involving more people, and it's being given over or given from the being, the existence that's capable of actually accomplishing it. Whereas the peronios of Devarim, they're less harsh. Why? Because Moshe is saying them, and not only is Moshe saying them, but they're in the singular. So they don't, they're not, in reading it, it's not affecting as many people. So the Ron's explaining that Abaye's statement is really only according to, is only according to Reish Lakish. Meaning, according to Reish Lakish, who holds that you can't make a bracha on peronios, it's only a certain quality of peronios. Only a peronios that's extremely harsh. Only that you can't make a bracha on. Whereas a peronios in Devarim, which isn't as harsh, you can make a bracha on. But apparently, what do you see from this, the Ron? What do you see? So you see that the statement of Abaye, the distinction between Vayikra and Devarim, would only exist according to Reish Lakish. But according to the first Shita, Rav Chia Bar Gamda, who holds that Musar Hashem B'ni Al Timos, there is no difference. That according to him, you wouldn't be allowed to break up the Klalos either way. Right? Everybody following me? Anybody like missing this? Very, I know it's very difficult.
Why can't that also answer the first Shita, though?
Okay.
Because it's less harsh, you're not going to think that...
Okay, good. I like this. That's the other way of learning. But the first way of learning is the Ron. Right? Does everybody follow? I'm going to say it again. Okay? The Ron is explaining like this. Abaye's statement that there's a difference between Devarim and Vayikra, it's only explaining the idea according to the way that the reason why you can't split it up is because of the brachos. And what's the explanation? Oh, you only can't make a bracha in a situation where the peronios have a certain harshness to them, where God is himself is speaking and it affects many people. But where it affects the individual, and when Moshe is saying it, then you can make a bracha. Apparently, the peronios aren't as harsh, and man's perception of God isn't affected as much. And therefore, by Devarim, you're allowed to split it up, and you can make a bracha on those peronios. However, according to the Ron, it would seem like the first explanation of Musar Hashem B'ni Al Timos, you can't make that distinction. There is no difference between Vayikra and Devarim. According to that Shita, or that way of explaining it, there would be no difference, and in both situations, you wouldn't be allowed to split it up. Correct? Everybody get it? But the Gemara is postulating from the story according to Reish Lakish, according to the Ron, and therefore we are allowed to split it up. So it's postulating that the real reason is because of bracha, not because of Musar Hashem B'ni Al Timos, but because of bracha. Right? All right, I need some type of feedback here because it's a tough Gemara, tough area. Somebody give me feedback on the phone.
I think I got it.
You got it? Okay. It's a little bit difficult. It's definitely not easy, right? Okay. So that's one way of learning it, the Ron. So the Ron's learning that Abaye's statement is explaining only Reish Lakish. Only Reish Lakish would hold, if you learn like Reish Lakish, there would be a distinction between Devarim and Vayikra. But the idea of Musar Hashem B'ni Al Timos, if it applies to both klalos, both the klalos of B'chukosai and both the klalos of Devarim, right? So that's one way of learning it, the Gemara. And let's just explain, why would you say that it should... Ilana didn't like this way of learning it, but why would you say that it should, according to the side that Musar Hashem B'ni Al Timos, why should it apply evenly? Like, why should there not be a distinction between Vayikra and Devarim? What's the idea? In other words, why is it that by Musar Hashem B'ni Al Timos, it applies equally across the board, and you can't use these explanations to define a distinction between the two?
Because the Musar is still... coming from God, even though it's remotion.
Well, it depends on, I think this is a critical idea. What's the idea? We didn't explain this fully, and I left this off for now. What's the problem with Musar B'ni Hashem Al Timos? I think the problem is that the idea of the Musar, as Rashi pointed out in the beginning of the Mishnah, is that it's supposed to motivate people to do tshuva. And the idea is that if a person doesn't see the good, or if they see the peronios, the bad, as being too harsh, it's not going to motivate them to do tshuva. In fact, they'll just be turned off to it. So the idea of the klalos not being split up and the idea of Musar Hashem B'ni Al Timos is an idea of giving over the Yisurin to the Klal Yisrael, that they'll only accept it if they understand the good behind it. But if they see it as being too harsh, they're not going to accept it. So if that's the case, there shouldn't be a difference between the klalos of Devarim and the klalos of Vayikra. Because in both cases, the purpose is to motivate the people to do tshuva. And if you give it over in a way where it's too harsh and it appears like it's unfair, then the people won't be motivated by it. In fact, they'll just give up and they'll say, oh, it's unfair. God's being unfair. You know? So in that sense, there shouldn't be any distinction between Vayikra and Dvarim. In both situations, you're utilizing the klalos as a means of motivating tshuva. And as such, you can't break it up. Because if it looks too harsh and there's no good behind it, if the good is stripped of it, then it won't have an effect on Klal Yisrael, and it won't be accepted. Okay? That's one way of learning the Gemara, and it's a nice way of learning. Okay? Now we come to the second way, and I think we're going to close off the share, hopefully, with this. It's the Turei Evan, which is the Shagas Aryeh, whose actual name was Rav Aryeh Lev ben Asher Gunzberg. No relation. And the Shagas Aryeh, he lived in the 1700s, and he wrote the Shagas Aryeh, but another sefer he wrote was called the Turei Evan, and he learns the Gemara a little bit differently. He wants to learn that Abaye's statement, that there is a distinction between Dvarim and Vayikra, is really applicable to both shitas, to both the first shita in the Gemara, Musar Hashem B'nei Al Timlas. Even that shita would hold that there's a difference between Vayikra and Dvarim, and Reish Lakish's shita, that you can't make a bracha on Peronios, there's a distinction. So let's look at number 11 inside. And this is a brilliant approach, the Shagas Aryeh. Okay? It says, if you look at the beginning, my time, halalu, my time, what's the reason? Why is there a distinction between Dvarim and Vayikra? Halalu lashon rabim amuros. In Vayikra, it's written in the plural, umosha mipiagvura amran v'chule. This is quoting the Gemara. Nirali shetzrichin beis ta'amim. So it appears to me you need both reasons. Because it's a funny thing. Why do you need both reasons? Tamim Elu, Dashtaim Asi Shapir Aliba Dechuli Alma. The both reasons, they work out for both shitas. Delamanda Amar, Dahai Taima Mishum Musar Hashem, according to the side that holds Musar Hashem, Kevon de Moshe Mipi Atmo Amran, because Moshe is saying the Musar in Devarim, Afa Gav Shibaruach HaKodesh Amran, even though it's being said Baruach HaKodesh, Ein ze bechlal Musar Hashem. This is not included in Musar Hashem. Ulamanda Amar she'ein omer bracha ala peronios. And according to the other side that holds the reason is because you can't make a bracha on bad things. Kimosh amru b'maseches sofrim heviu atosvos omer Rav Yeshua disachani ani amarti imo anochi b'tzara, that Tosvos brings down because of the problem of amarti imo anochi b'tzara. Im kain. So since Devarim is written in the singular and not in the plural, so it's not really a tzara that affects Klal Yisrael, and we don't say imo anochi b'tzara. So what's the Shagas Aryeh saying? He's saying this idea that really the limud of Abaye, it's not only according to Reish Lakish, but it's really according to both shitas. Meaning even the side that holds Musar Hashem B'nei Al Timas, he's going to hold that there's a difference between Vayikra and Devarim, because one is Musar Hashem. The one in Vayikra is really the Musar of Hashem himself, whereas in Devarim, it's really being said by Moshe, so it lacks in Musar Hashem. And the other reason is in the framework of Reish Lakish, that because we say that you can't make a bracha peronios because imo anochi b'tzara, that's only by Vayikra, because it's b'lashon rabim, but in Devarim, b'lashon yachid, we don't say that. Okay, so the Shagas Aryeh, he's learning the Gemara completely different than the Ran. He's really saying that Abaye is not rejecting the first Shita, but he's really according to both Shitas. Right? Does everybody understand that? I know it's late, but you have to appreciate this. So we have two ways of learning the Gemara, okay? So what's the Shagas Aryeh? Now we have the Shagas Aryeh, and he's saying that according to the side that holds Musar Hashem B'nei Al Timas, there really is a difference. So what is the why would you say there's a difference? Because one is Musar Hashem and the other one's not. Now, why should that make a difference? Why is it that by the Musar Hashem, by the Musar given by God directly, we don't split it up? By the Musar of Moshe, we would split it up. What's the difference, philosophically? Why would there be a difference? Okay, so let's... Yeah, Alana, I think you were going along this path. Alana was kind of explaining this way.
Can you repeat?
Yeah. According to the Shagas Aryeh, so he holds that the side that holds Musar Hashem B'nei Al Timas, that one's Musar Hashem in Vayikra, because it's really stated by God himself. Whereas in Devarim, it's not Musar Hashem, it's Musar Moshe. So only by Musar Hashem is there a problem of Al Timas. Whereas by Musar Moshe, it's not. So what's the difference? So I think the difference is that, what's the idea of Musar Hashem al Timas? So according to the last day we learned it, the Ran, it's really an idea in giving over the Musar. Meaning, if Klal Yisrael, they won't accept the Tochacha if they don't see the good in Tochacha. If somebody's just hammering you, and they're just saying you're going to get destroyed, you're going to think it's too harsh. It's not going to motivate you to do tshuva. Maybe the Shagas Ari is saying a different idea. That Musar Hashem b'ni al Timas means that it can't lead you to a distorted idea of God. Meaning, when you hear the Musar and you hear the harshness that God is bestowing upon Klal Yisrael, it could potentially lead you to a misconception about God, that God is being too harsh, that he's unjust. So the idea of Musar Hashem b'ni al Timas is there has to be a recognition that there's a good in the Musar. It can't be read where it's too harsh. Why? Because the harshness of it will lead to an improper idea of God. So if you remove that, if you don't read it in such a harsh way, and there's some recognition of the chavivas, the good of the Yisurin, then it will not lead a person to the improper idea of God. In fact, it'll lead them to an enhanced idea about God. So the idea, that's why there's a difference between Vayikra and Devarim. In Vayikra, it could really lead to a distorted idea about God, because it's Musar Hashem. It's the Musar of Hashem directly. Whereas in Devarim, there's not as much concern that it's going to lead to a distortion of God, because it's not really God himself giving over this Musar, but it's really Moshe Rabbeinu giving over the Musar. So for anybody who got that last point, Alana got it. It's really ingenious that you see that there's one line in the Gemara and it could affect the whole way you learn the Gemara. And it could affect the whole way you learn the Gemara. Like if you learn it like the Ran, it's really only according to Reish Lakish, this distinction between Vayikra and Devarim. But if you learn it like the Shagas Aryeh, it's according to both, that there would be a distinction between Vayikra and Devarim. And so let's just do the Halacha L'maisa and we'll just close up shop, okay? So if you look at number 12, what is the Halacha L'maisa? It's in the Shulchan Aruch. Chlalos shevetoros kohanim ein mafsikin bahem. So you're not allowed to, when you read Bechukosai in this week's Parsha, you're not allowed to be mafsik. You can't have an extra liyah in there. Echad korek kulam. One person has to read the whole thing. Umaschilin bepsukim shelefneim umesayim bepsukim shelacharem. You have to start psukim before, a couple psukim, not just one, but a couple. And you have to end a couple psukim after. Aval chlalos shevemishna Torah yecholim lahafsik bahem. But in Devarim, you are allowed to. The afal pichin, but nevertheless, nagu shlo lahafsik bahem. There's a minog that you shouldn't be mafsik, which makes sense, because even though it's not exactly the same as Vayikra, there still is an idea of tochacha there, and the Am has accepted upon ourselves not to break up the klalos in Devarim. And one last point, just in terms of reading the kriya of Bechukosai in a low voice. So there's one raya from Rabbeinu Manoach, who is a Rishon, that maybe there's one possible raya that you should read it differently. Even though the Gemara says that you shouldn't split it up, what's the raya from this Gemara? What example from this Gemara would seem to indicate that the klalos should be read either differently or maybe like in a lower voice? I wouldn't say in a lower voice. So you see from the last case in the Gemara, Rav Levi Barbuti, he was megamdim, he was mumbling it. So the question is, the Gemara never criticizes him for mumbling it. They just tell him that if you want to stop, you're allowed to stop because it's varm. So you see from there that it was okay. It's okay to mumble. There's some reason why Levi Barbuti mumbled it. So you see there's some source in the Gemara for reading the klalos in a mumbling fashion. Because you see that Levi Barbuti in the Gemara, he's never criticized for reading it that way. In fact, he's just told that if he wants to, he can stop in Devarim. But apparently there's no problem with mumbling it. And apparently the fact that he did it shows you that there's some reason to do it. That there's some type of idea that of doing it. Of course, being posek is a problem according to everybody, but mumbling it is not a problem. It demonstrates a certain harshness, but it doesn't take away from Musar Hashem b'ni al Timas. Okay, so there is some type of recognition in the Rabbeinu Manoach of this concept of reading it differently. But the source, the real source for reading it in a lower level is really from the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, which I'm not going to bring down, but it's kind of hard to understand, you know, what that is, what that idea is of reading it in a low voice. Okay? Now, I know that tonight's share was a kind of a more difficult share, and it was a Gemara-oriented share, but hopefully there's a couple ideas, a couple philosophical ideas, so I'm just going to highlight the philosophical ideas that we came out with. And one idea is Musar Hashem b'ni al Timas, which is an idea that the Yisurin, there is a benefit in Yisurin, and they can't be presented in a way whereby the benefit is ignored. And that's the idea of Musar Hashem b'ni al Timas, and there's two possible reasons as to why that is so. One reason is because people will only accept Yisurin or the tochacha of Yisurin if they see that it's not too harsh and that there's a good there. And the other possible reason is that we don't want the Yisurin to lead to a misconception about God. We don't want a person to hear the bad things, the harshness, and say that God is unfair. We want to recognize that God is out for man's benefit. And the third idea, the third main concept of the shir is the idea of brachos. And we said that we don't make a bracha on peranios, meaning to say that imo anochi b'tzara, that even though God's unaffected by our tzara, there's an idea there that his image and the perception of him from our standpoint is affected. So we recognize that and we say that, therefore, as a result, that you shouldn't make a bracha in peranios as a recognition of the fact that his perception is affected by our tzara, by us being in pain. So hopefully, I don't know what happened on the phone lines there. Is everybody still on the phone line?
Yes.
Okay. So hopefully, and hopefully there's some insight into how to learn Gemara and to demonstrate the genius behind learning Gemara, because you have like one statement in the Gemara which is a little bit ambiguous, but there's so many different ways and ideas that come about. We even showed two philosophical ideas about Musar Hashem and the Altimos that come about based on how you read the Gemara. If you read it one way, Musar Hashem Altimos is a din in accepting the Tochacha on Klal Yisrael's part. And if you read it another way, it's really an idea in not leading to a misconception about God, but understanding that God is out for our good and our benefit. And then also, we saw just the last point of the idea of Megam game, that there is a proof, a raya, that Rabbeinu Manoach brings down, that in the Gemara, that there is some idea of mumbling the curses, that there is some type of support for it from the Gemara, and it wouldn't be a problem of Musar Hashem Bnei Altimos. Okay, so hopefully, when you go to shul, if you go to shul this Shabbos, you'll appreciate and you'll look at the lane and you'll appreciate the fact that there's no splits in the Bechukosai, in the klaus of Bechukosai, and you'll understand the idea and the reasoning behind why there's no splits in Bechukosai, and hopefully you'll utilize it. This is like a perfect Musar ending, but hopefully you'll utilize the klaus for your benefit and do tshuva, and then hopefully Mashiach will come. Amen. All right, so everybody.